Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll just read our theme verse for this. And I know we're really hammering it, but I want us to get it. Nothing better than coming through a study. And then, you know, it's said that in instruction and teaching and lecturing and speaking, when we have kind of a situation like it is with preaching, maybe we might retain 10 or 20% of what's said. And that's just a people thing, okay? It's not that you're at fault and I'm not. If I was sitting there, I'd be the same way, okay? So it's that way. That's the reason the Scripture says the Lord knows how we're built, line upon line, precept upon precept. Because of what doesn't stick, what we don't retain, the Lord says, here a little, there a little. Because it might be we'd have a time that a whole bunch gets shoveled out, but we just don't grab a hold of it. And that's one thing with teaching and preaching, that a temptation that we have, that a teacher has, a preacher has, is to, man, you get on a subject and you got a whole bunch that the Bible says about the subject, and you try to get it all out there in one shot, and then you keep the people there for an hour, hour and 15 minutes, and the bottom can't endure much more than that. The mind can only collect what the bottom can endure, right? And so then you jam it in there, you speak so fast and everything, you get all the points covered, and you don't get to hang on to a lot of it. But then the other side of that is that for week after week after week, we study this subject. And so then you have that's the bane of it. You go too fast, you go too slow. But may the Lord help us that we hang on to some things, right? And so this thing of headship, it's going to take a while to get through it, but it's necessary and it's good. It's a place of blessing for us, and the Lord help us in it. And I pray I won't bore you to tears. I don't want to bore you to tears. I want us to be helped by the Lord. And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Okay, that's the way it is, fellas. That Christ is our head. He's our head. The head of every man, not most, not some, whether men know it or not, the head of every man is Christ. Right? We're seeing that on Sunday mornings. Amen? He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everyone that's alive in that day and then at the judgments, everyone that has ever lived will be submissive and subject to Christ. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. That's talking about living here on this earth. And the head of Christ is God. Christ does not exempt himself. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for your people. And Lord, we thank you for every brother and sister in Christ that has a desire to come meet together, to worship, to fellowship together. Lord, I praise your name for that. I praise your name for them, and thank you so much for them. Help us as a church. We might walk with you well. Be with those that have been disciplined from a membership of our church, Father, that you would stir them, and Lord, work in them what they need. Lord, if they're saved, that you'd bring them back. Lord, if they're not saved, that you'd save them and add them to the church. And Lord, help us that we would stand and we'd walk before you and walk with you in a way that'd be pleasing to you, in a way that'd be a good witness of your saving grace and what you've done for us. Help now, we pray. And Lord, help us to understand these things out of your word. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. In this relationship, in regards to our work, or in our situation, in our country, you know, the situation of being a bond slave, a slave to be owned by someone else, as a foreign thing to us, we have no comprehension of that. But the Scripture speaks about it, and it's from those Scriptures that we get an understanding about how it should be with us, with our work. And last time we took a look in the book of Genesis, how that work was ordained by the Lord. Adam was given that work by the Lord before sin in the garden there in Eden, and he was given that work to dress and keep the garden. And then, because of the curse of sin, that work got more difficult. Starts talking about the sweat of the brow. Adam didn't, I don't think he perspired. He didn't sweat before. Everything was, man, it was just good and right. But then casting him out of the garden, as the Lord did, he said, you're going to work this ground so that you might have food, and it's just not going to cooperate with you. Thorns, thistles, and it's going to come that way. And then we find when Adam, and the Scripture records about Adam having children, the sons are listed there. And then we find when the sons are of age and they're seemingly what the Scripture tells us, they're old enough to be able to do. They are doing, aren't they? And Cain was a tiller of the ground, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep. They had work that they did. And so work has been ordained by God, and we have that. It's indicated by the Lord that it's to be. And so we want to continue on with this, seeing in the Scriptures about it. And so let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We've looked in 1 Peter 2. We've looked in Titus chapter 2. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we've got a whole chapter nearly dedicated to this. Let as many, verse number 1, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, and that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. So here we see this. We saw about those that are listed there, those the different aspects that are listed in Titus chapter 2, and that portion there in the latter part of verse number 5 of Titus chapter 2. It talks about these things need to be so the word of God be not blasphemed. The people of God are representative of the Lord. They're representative. We are representative of Jesus Christ. And if we be found truly to be a hypocrite, we blaspheme the Word of God. We say we've been saved by Christ and we've been changed. We've been rescued from sin. But then if we're going the way that we always did, then we're a hypocrite. Okay? We're a hypocrite. And what's that do? That old religion thing, that Jesus Christ thing, that bloody death on the cross thing, who needs that? What's said? They are no different than us. Well, we need to be different, right? A peculiar people that the Lord has rescued, and we need to manifest that. And so here he says, if you're a servant, man, we just don't get that. I mean, to think about your life being directed in every moment by somebody, by some other person. Get up, go home, do this, do that, do the other, come with me, go here tomorrow, go work in this field, go do this repair. You and I, we just don't get that. It might come that we might get that for our lifetimes out with persecution that could possibly come upon us. If it does, may the Lord give us help and grace. But we just don't, being born free in this country, we just don't understand this, do we? I mean, what would you think about somebody telling you what you're going to do this afternoon when you leave here? In every whit and every detail. Why, we'd rise up and buck to think that anybody, but it has happened with people, hasn't it? And so here it says, when it's in that case, he says, let as many servants as are under the yoke. That's talking about being captive. And it can also, I'm thinking it can also speak about our work. Okay. But, and that's the application that we find. But let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Mentioned Him last time. There's no greater witness in this subject and in the context of the Scripture and what it speaks to us about than Joseph is there. There's no greater witness than Joseph. He was sold out by his brothers, ultimately sold into Potiphar's house, and he said, I don't belong here. I'm guiltless. I'm pitching a fit and sitting down here, and you can beat me, starve me, do whatever, and I'm not doing. Did Joseph behave that way? No, he didn't. But he was faithful in everything he was given to do, wasn't he? He sought to excel being a slave. So with that witness, with that one witness around us, we've got a cloud around us, hadn't we? Don't we have a cloud of witness around us with Joseph in the way that he was? And so within our jobs and the freedom we have in our country, we should well serve the Lord in our work, shouldn't we? He says that the word of God be not blasphemed. Verse 2, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them. Okay, you got a master that's saved. Don't think, well, you believe, you should let me go. No, don't despise them. Don't despise them. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If we could really understand how we've been so spoiled in our country and our nation with the freedom and blessing and liberty that we've been given, There's a trial in not having anything. There's a trial in being destitute and poor. What was it? It was a brother, I want to say it's Asaph, but maybe it was another man there in Proverbs. He says, "Don't let me be destitute, Lord, lest I curse you." Well, there's a temptation in that, isn't there? But then there's a trial in just having way more than we need, because our tendency is to take that and use it to sin against God, or to grow independent to where we don't need God. Or like Israel was told by the Lord, that you get to the point that you say, "I've brought all this stuff to me," rather than remember that it was the Lord that had given it. Amen? He says here, he says, teach these things and exhort him. Said, if he's a brother, then serve him well. Serve him well. And in all this, say, well, it's unfair. It's not right. He's saved, and so am I. Well, it's the thing about taking ourselves and entrusting ourselves and our situation, or the circumstance of our life, taking that and entrusting it to the Lord. Can we take our life and entrust it to the Lord? You know, and I get upset over trivial things, and I don't need to be upset about trivial things. I get upset when somebody in front of me is slow on the road. I'm free to serve the Lord. Why do I get riled when I'm delayed a little bit? Right? But we're living now, don't we? If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, because these are words of life, these are wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, said, listen, if you won't confirm what I've said here, you're proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. Wherefore cometh envy and strife and railings, evil surmisings, the perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. There's some folks to mark. And he said, get away from them. So you don't line up with what the Word of God says, get away from them. They're not going to help you. You have to be a witness to them, sure. But don't take up their way. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, godliness with contentment is great gain. That's kind of the opposite of covetousness and greed, isn't it? Godliness with contentment is great gain. But we naturally in the world pursues after covetousness. And gimme, 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 gimme. You know, we can, it's easy for us to be invaded by that and the doctrine of that spirit. Give me more. Give me different. Give me more. Give me more. Give me different. Give me better. And it's not wrong to have things. It's not. The Lord blesses. The Lord gives to each one of us as He sees fit. You know, none of us are owed a job. None of us are owed a living. We're not. Whether the Lord has designed that we work, and the Lord has given us what He has given us and who we are and our abilities, our talents, the Lord's blessed us that way to whatever degree He's chosen to do so. And wherein we find ourselves, that's where we're to be content. Are we to pursue? Yeah, we've been given the ability to pursue, so pursue. But don't take our pursuits and let them go beyond, or let them come over and ride over our service and dedication to the Lord. See, it's good to work, isn't it? It's right to work. But we can take work so far that we dishonor our Lord in it. So we dishonor our Lord if we don't work. And then I dishonor my Lord when I work too much. So there's a balance in it. There's a balance in it. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to these wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, verse 3. Verse 4, he's proud knowing nothing, doting about questions, strifes of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. So it's a justification of self. Destitute of the truth, it's empty of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Those are the minimums. If the Lord gives us to pursue otherwise, let us pursue it. But let us not take it. Let us not take our work and blame it on our lack of service, our lack of fellowship, our further engagement in the service of the Lord. So, see, we have a tendency as men, women, boys, and girls have said, we like to establish the minimums. This is minimum, this is minimum, this minimum. If I've got the minimums done, then I'm okay with God. Listen, you're not okay with the Lord until you've pursued everything that He's dished out there in front of you. Remember what the Lord said? The disciples came to the Lord and said, increase our faith. He said to them, what did He say? He says, what man having a servant going out in the field comes in from the field and says to his servant, have a seat, sit down, I'll feed you. And then when the servant's done eating, then the servant can get up and serve the master. Who does it that way? Well, the answer is nobody does it that way, right? Nobody does it that way. He says they go out in the field and they work. They come in, and then the servant goes and makes supper for the master. The master eats, and then the servant eats. He said, that's the way that it is. He says, when you and I do everything that the Lord's bidden us to do, then say, we are at best unprofitable servants. That's the only time we can get to the point we can say that. Our problem is doing everything that we've been bidden to do. Amen? Mm-hmm. So don't live like, Brother Ron, I think he's going to come, and I think he's going to preach a message. And I think most of you probably haven't heard it, and it's a great message. I pray that the Lord will bless that He can preach it like He preached it at White Plains, because that's the best I've heard Him preach it. I hope He preaches it that way or better. He's talking about the title of the message is Making Deals with God or Time Clock Christians. He's titled it a couple ways. Do you want to work off of minimums? Well, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, and then my life with the Lord's okay. Then I'll take the rest of my life and I'll live it the way I want. It's a bad deal. It's a bad way to live. Obey the Lord in everything. Pursue the Lord in everything. Because there's nothing but blessing there. We brought nothing into this world, verse 7, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Do you need to prepare for the future? Yeah. Do you need to save? Yeah. Sure we do. Does it need to consume us? No. It's a balance sometimes. It is. But we need to be about it. Because the thing is this life will burn up. It will. It will. And what the Lord says in what, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, He says, He knows what we need. And we need to obey Him in what He says to do, and He will add to us what we need. And so may the Lord help us in that. The love of money is the root of all evil. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, wherein thou art called, also called, and hath professed a good profession for many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Brother Jim, why did you read all of that when verses 1 and 2 talked about being a servant and being a master? Because those other verses are what we blaspheme if we don't do well in being a good employee in our case. If we don't, that's what we blaspheme if we don't follow the Lord in the work that He's given us to do. And that's some good, rich, serious stuff there, isn't it? Do we want to be found guilty of that? No. He starts off talking about our relationship, in our case, with our employer and before the Lord. Remember, this relationship and work is that the child of God is to be submissive to Christ. We've got Christ as our head. And because of that, we're to be submissive and right to our employer. Now, if our employer bids us to do that which is not right before God, who are we to be loyal to? The Lord. Right? But as long as it's not wickedness and against the Word of God that our employer bids us do, we're to be faithful to Him. And we're to work for them just like we work for the Lord. Amen? That's right. That's right. Colossians chapter 3. Take a look over here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service. But we've all worked around that, maybe even did it ourselves. I was told the other day about someone that's noted at their workplace for when the boss comes around, they're busy, they're doing. But when they evaluate the situation about what they're supposed to be doing, and they take a look at what they're responsible for, they find out that much of it is not done. But when the boss comes around, they're doing everything they're supposed to do. That's eye service. See, that's a total lack of understanding that our Lord and Savior's watching. You know, if you goof off on the job, then have guts enough to goof off in front of your boss. And at least have some character and some equity in your behavior. Amen? Right. I mean, if you goof off without the boss there, then do the same amount of goofing off when the boss is there. And at least be even in that. But don't be goofing off. Amen? Amen. And I've been blessed with good bosses. I had bosses that told me, says, as long as you get your job done, you won't ever hear from me. And there's different kinds of work. There's just different kinds of jobs. And so we understand that. But with whatever liberty that we have in our work, we need not to abuse that, don't we? We don't need to abuse it. We need to use it well. He goes on to say here, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. That you obey your boss because you love and fear the Lord. And whatsoever you do, this is a good one for everything. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. You know, that'll take care of all kinds of stuff. If we realize in our jobs that when we get up and we go there to do our work, that we're doing it as unto the Lord, that He's really our boss, that'll take care of a lot of stuff, won't it? It will. I'm working for the Lord. He's watching all the time. And he's pleased with me doing well and seeking to advance. Nothing better than working for an employer and taking care of your employer's stuff like it's your own. Amen? Then take care of that equipment that you use like it's yours. Now, if you like driving your fork truck off the dock, then don't treat it like it was yours. All right? But you know what I'm saying? We can't take care of our own stuff, right? Well, we need to take care of our employer's stuff like it was ours, or better. Because we need to do it heartily as unto the Lord. Look at this. Verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Do we serve the Lord for rewards? The answer from the heart should be no. I tell you, it took me as a child of God, and I praise the Lord for a pastor that preached it and taught it. It took me a while to get that completely and understand about that. We serve the Lord because He is due our service, worship, and praise. That's the reason. Because that's the reason we've been created, is to honor and glory. This isn't a tit-for-tat kind of thing. We serve God because He's good to us. That's not it. Is God good to us? Always. Amen? But we don't serve Him for that. It's just a blessing. It's a bonus. He's a real good God. Amen? He's a real good God. But we don't serve Him. We don't need to serve Him for that. Because you know what will happen? If the Lord visits you and I like He visits Job, then if we only serve Him for the blessings, if we only serve Him for the good times, then from the human standpoint, we're going to bail out on God, aren't we? Yeah. But we need to serve Him because He's God. And I may need you to remind me of that someday. We need to serve Him because He's... But there is a reward in there. There is a reward. There is a blessing. He's a great God. He's got the entire kingdom that He looks to give to us. He's got blessings piled up and everything beyond we can even imagine. He's just saying, He says, won't you try me and prove me and see what I can pour out on you? Amen? And, we are so bent to think about stuff. And finances and money. I was talking to Stephen about Joseph's situation, and we love him. And I don't want to be melodramatic or anything about it, but we love him. We care for him. Want good things for him. And this thing with the spherocytosis, I mean, we're waiting on that. We wonder what it's going to be. We know it's in the Lord's hands, and He's able. But having spherocytosis is better than having muscular dystrophy or muscular sclerosis, isn't it? Amen. There's a lot of things worse. You know, and you can't put a price tag on that, on those kind of blessings, can you? You can't take any kind of stuff and pile it up and compare it. So like the blessing of health, the blessing of a sound mind, right? The blessing of family being saved. You know, there's blessings that are way greater than this stuff. You know, and we need to be aware of that. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, because we are joint heirs with Christ, for you serve the Lord Christ. You need to remember that. Even at work. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there's no respect of persons. If we do wrong, there's no excuse. There's nothing we can lay at the Lord's feet because of His divine providence and working in all things. We can't take our disobedience and sin and lay that at God's feet. The Lord spells something out plain in His Word. We can't say that, I see it there in the Word of God and I see that it's so, but I just don't have any leadership that way. We can't do that because He instructs us that way and we're going to give an account for how it is. Verse number 1 of the next chapter. We haven't heard anything about bosses or masters. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. A man that has a business, he is to pay a good wage for an appropriate work. There's no owing of a living to any man. We're not owed a living by anyone. We're not owed payment. We're not owed by the wealthiest man in the world. We're not owed anything. It's the Lord that's made him wealthy. He's to be fair and just. He's not duty bound to pay above what a particular job would bring. He's not to be abusive either. Right? Because he's accountable to the Lord too. And so we're to work. And work for the Lord. Work as unto the Lord. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Back here in this book that's brought us to the consideration, we begin to touch on this thing of headship over here in chapter 5. Look what it says here in chapter 6 of verse number 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. With the Lord saying that, again, it's relative to being a bond slave or a servant or, you know, one that is owned by the master, if I understand it right. With keeping that passage in mind, does that bring any condemnation upon us as the children of God, having a smart mouth towards our employers, being smart aleck? Our employer says something and we give some kind of snide remark back to be cute or to get the sting in or to get the... And I'm not talking about dealing with a problem. We need to deal with a problem well, don't we? But as the children of God, we don't need to be smart aleck, do we? No. No, we need to be right, representative of the Lord. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, is unto Christ. That Christ is there instead of our boss. And we would be to our boss as the Lord would have us to be, as He would be, and as we would should be to Him. Not with eye service. There's that being on the move while they're there and looking as men pleasers. But as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You know, there's nasty things that are said about people that just want to do well. And we understand there's a difference between being political. People butter up to people for what they can get out of them, right? And it's talked about being a brown noser. Listen, that is a disgusting term. As a child of God, don't be guilty of using that term, brown noser. That's disgusting. It's wicked. If you need an explanation about what it is, I'll let you know. Ask me later on. But don't be guilty of talking that way. But so someone that wants to do well, wants to be obedient unto Christ and be obedient to their boss and such as that, they may be accused of such a thing. But the thing is, we don't need to be political. We know there's people, you understand what I'm saying about being political? They'll talk good to their face, but then they'll stab them in the back when their boss leaves. We don't need to be political to manipulate people and get on the right side. But we need to be honest at all times. Amen? Open and honest in that. We might be accused of being political, but we need to make sure that we're not. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. And that thing and that term that I just mentioned, you know, again, it's a point that be careful about what you say and the language that you use. Make sure that you know what you're saying, what it means before you say it. Because I'll tell you what, here we are in 2012, and what it's used about and what it's said now, in the 70s, it might have meant something different than what it was talking about now. And this is one of those subjects that's really hard to deal with. But it makes sure when you use a term, I see it, people that are saved and get on Facebook and they use the language of Facebook and they use the language of the world. Don't ever, I'll go ahead and give you this one, don't ever say that something sucks. That's wicked. That's vile. It shouldn't be used by the people of God. It shouldn't be. Don't use that. Because back in the 70s, it was known what that meant, and it was wicked and vile then, and it's wicked and vile now. Okay? Man, how to get off on that? But needs to be. Not with thy service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as unto the Lord, not unto men. If we do that, we'll be in great shape. Knowing that whatsoever good thing a man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is the respect of persons with him. As a boss, as an employer, you got a responsibility to be right to the people that work for you. To do them well, to do them right. When you say something, yeah, it ought to go. You're the boss. But you don't have to get red-faced and the veins pop out and all that. But we can handle yourself well and still mean what you think. It's kind of like with our children. A brother said years ago, he said, we don't need to lie to our children. If I tell my children I'm going to get them for their disobedience, when they disobey, I need to go ahead and get them. Don't lie to them. When the same thing is being an employer or a boss or a foreman or such as that. Ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know what? To work well and to be as the Lord would have us to be as his children in our relationship with our work, it's going to take some courage and it's going to take some strength. It will, because this old wicked world that we live in and work in just doesn't get it. But we need to be representative of the Lord, don't we? We need to be representative of him. Bearing, in all this, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, temperance, meekness, right? Those things that there's no law against, that's how we need to be. And work. We need to work. We need to work. Because the Lord's ordained that we work. And in that work, we need to work well. Do it according to what the Lord has provided it for it to be, but don't take it and put it between us and the Lord. Amen? And if our work is hampering our relationship with our Savior, then maybe we need to back off of work some. But if we don't have any work, we're not pleasing to the Lord. All of us have got some work to do in the place that the Lord's made for us. If you're here without the Lord as your Savior, you need him. There's nothing you can work that you can take and bring to the Lord and say, here's for my salvation. All the best you've got is a filthy rag. A rag that a leper's wrapped up in, or a rag, a towel that a dead person would be wrapped up in. The best you have is like that. That ain't much, is it? No. You wouldn't even want to use that if you could wash it and bleach, right? But you need the righteousness of Christ. You know, you need what he has done so that sinners like you can be forgiven, can be redeemed, and can be made whole, can have their sins washed away, and be given eternal life. Repent and believe the gospel. Trust in him.